a lot of different reasons is all the hyperlinks in the Bible that jump back and forth between the New Testament and the Old Testament. And then the sermon scripture this morning from Matthew chapter 1, there is a huge hyperlink all the way back to the passage from Isaiah that I read earlier. See if you can see it. Okay. So this is Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall name him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. May God bless to our understanding this reading and hearing of his holy word. Just about all of us have dreams, right? Some of us could even tell you what we dreamed about last night. Okay? There are some people who don't dream, or at least can't remember their dreams, but there are some rather famous dreams from history. For example, way back in the early 1800s, author Mary Shelley had a dream. She woke up the next morning and she wrote Frankenstein. Robert Louis Stevenson once had a dream that inspired his novel, The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Did you know that Paul McCartney claimed to have dreamed the melody of his song Yesterday? And some people say that Albert Einstein's theory of relativity was inspired by a dream. But even if you don't dream or remember your dreams, we all have dreams. We dream about our future and the future of our families. Martin Luther King Jr. had a dream that everyone would be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. There's a classic song that wants you to dream a little dream of me. Okay, Irving Berlin was dreaming of a white Christmas. Okay, and in his famous poem, A Visit from St. Nicholas, Clement Clark Moore painted such a vivid, dreamlike word picture of Christmas that it is still the standard. Not everybody has a fondness for dreams, though. Comedian George Carlin once said, "Some people see things that are and ask why. Some people dream of things that never were and ask why not. And some of us have to go to work and don't have time for all that." Still, dreams are an important part of our human makeup. Dreams can also have a cosmic spiritual significance. And that's what we're going to focus on for the next few minutes. Before we go on, though, let's take a moment and pray together. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for calling us here together around your word today. What a beautiful day it is, and this season of the year reminds us of all the hope and the love and the joy that you have given us. As we do listen for what you are saying to us this morning, Lord, we just pray once again that you will give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts and minds that can understand what your Spirit is saying to us. We ask in Jesus' name, Amen. There are like 21 specific dreams that are recorded in the Bible. Now, I'm not going to talk about every one of them. I'll let you do a word search if you want to. But in one of those dreams that appears early in the Old Testament part of the Bible, the biblical patriarch Jacob has a dream about this gigantic ladder or staircase in some translations that connects heaven and earth. And he sees all kinds of angels walking up and down this staircase. And right in the middle of his dream, the God of his grandfather and his father, Abraham and Isaac, speaks to Jacob. And so that's one example of how a dream can have cosmic spiritual significance. One of the most famous dreamers in the Bible may very well be Jacob's son, Joseph. Okay, you may remember how Joseph told his family about some of his dreams. Like in one of Joseph's dreams, he saw his 11 brothers bowing down to him. And in another dream, he saw the sun, the moon, and the stars, which represented his dad and his mom and his brothers actually worshiping him. Needless to say, this did not do anything to make his family happy with him. And eventually, Joseph's brothers got so fed up with him that they sold him to slave traders, and Joseph actually landed up in Egypt. And if you don't know how that story turns out, you can read about it in the last few chapters of the book of Genesis. So in the Bible, there are some dreams that are very reassuring, and there are other dreams that can be quite troubling. Okay, in the book of Daniel, there's a record of a couple of dreams that the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar had. In one of those dreams, Nebuchadnezzar saw this giant statue that was made up of all kinds of different material. And all of a sudden, this huge boulder comes flying in out of the sky and busts the statue to pieces. And then in another dream, he saw this gigantic tree that was filled with beautiful foliage and abundant fruit. And there were all kinds of birds and animals that were finding refuge and taking nourishment from this tree. And all of a sudden, this tree just gets chopped down and all the animals go running off everywhere. And it turns out that Nebuchadnezzar was actually dreaming about his own impending fate. And then later in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel records one of his own dreams. And it's a very terrifying dream. He dreams of all these strange-looking animals. There's like this lion that has wings, and there's a bear with all these fangs sticking out everywhere. And there's a leopard with four heads, and this really, really horrifying beast that has iron claws and horns sticking out of its head that's covered with eyeballs. You know, and then all of a sudden this beast gets judged, and the Son of Man is given dominion over heaven and earth. Okay, so the Bible has happy dreams and not so happy dreams, good dreams and bad dreams. It has puzzling dreams. It has nightmares. And then there's the dream we read about right at the start of the sermon just a few minutes ago. Maybe one of the more familiar dreams in the Bible. It's New Testament Joseph's dream. It's the one where the angel appeared to him and told him that the baby Mary was going to have was from the Holy Spirit. But I wonder sometimes, I wonder, what were Joseph's dreams? You know, Matthew tells us that Mary and Joseph were engaged. And one of the things that's important for us 21st century Christians to remember is that first century Jewish marriage was vastly different from marriage in our culture today. You know, in our culture, everybody is pretty much free to marry anybody they want to, right? You meet, you date, you fall in love, you get married, you start a family, maybe in that order. But in first century Jewish culture, marriages were arranged. You know, kind of like Fiddler on the Roof. Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. Okay, so at some point, Mary's family and Joseph's family had made this arrangement. They had entered into a marriage contract. And in all likelihood, this contract had been around for a while. Maybe even since before Mary and Joseph were even born. And in a small first century Jewish community, it is highly likely that Mary and Joseph had known each other for quite some time. And perhaps they had even grown up together. And they had gone through all sorts of elaborate rituals and ceremonies, including their engagement. Now, they were technically husband and wife. They just weren't living together yet. Now, there's a whole lot of intense patriarchal stuff going on there. But just imagine what may have been going through Joseph's brain during this time. Maybe a little bit of fear, some anticipation, a lot of hopes for the future, dreams for what his family was going to be like and his future family, expectations of their new life together. And so then Mary decides to go visit her cousin Elizabeth. Now you have to jump over to the Gospel of Luke to get this part of it, but there's this really neat story about how Mary goes to see her cousin Elizabeth, who is with child, and her child is going to grow up to become John the Baptist. So Mary and Elizabeth have this wonderful visit together, and then Mary returns home, and lo and behold, there's a baby bump. So what do you do when your dreams become a nightmare? All right, so Joseph would have been well within his rights to just drag Mary, according to Jewish law, Joseph would have been well within his rights to just drag Mary out of town and just kill her on the spot. He could have made this gigantic public spectacle out of the whole thing. Instead, Joseph decided to just end the marriage as quickly and as quietly as he possibly could. And it was at that point that Joseph's dream collided head on with God's dream. You see, going all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, coming all the way up to the present time, God has had this dream. You see, from the instant Adam and Eve estranged humanity from the holiness of the Lord in the garden, God came up with this plan to put it all back together. And ever since that time, God has been working that plan, that dream, sometimes quietly behind the scenes and sometimes in ways that are hard to ignore, but God has been working that dream to reconcile all of us back to one another and to God. And the entire Old Testament part of the Bible is about how God was at work through a specific group of people making that dream into a reality. And in the New Testament part of the Bible, it is about how all the nations of the world can be a part of God's dream. And right here in the middle of all that, there's a story of God's dream colliding with humanity's dream at Christmas. And the great, glorious good news is that as that collision causes God's dream to become our dream, we find our place in the kingdom of heaven. When Tim Smith was pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Slidell, Louisiana, he told a story about a guy named Matthew Barnett. When Matthew Barnett was 16 years old, he had a dream about a church that would be open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That church would serve the physical and spiritual needs of the inner city. So when he was 20 years old in 1994, Matthew Barnett moved from his home in Phoenix, Arizona to Los Angeles, California. He became the pastor of a church with 18 people. He says that one night God woke him up and told him to walk to a place called Echo Park. Echo Park is one of the neighborhoods in downtown Los Angeles. And at the time, it was just overrun with crime. It was filled with gangs and prostitutes, the homeless. And as he stood there in Echo Park, Matthew says he heard God say, "I didn't call you to build a church. I called you to build people. You build the people, I'll build the church." And so Matthew Barnett started an outreach ministry to the people in that neighborhood. And after several years, a huge 400,000 square foot hospital complex with nine buildings went on the market for $10 million. Somehow, I don't know how, but somehow Matthew was able to buy that complex for $3.5 million. And it became a 24/7, 365 hospital and sanctuary. They offer free help, free counseling, free food, free medical services to people in need. And they call it the Dream Center. And today there are more than 85 Dream Centers based on Matthew Barnett's model for ministry all over the world. We all have plans. We all have hopes and dreams, dreams for our future, dreams for our family's future, the future of our loved ones. And sometimes all of our plans go exactly the way we want them to, and all seems merry and bright. Sometimes, though, our dreams turn into nightmares, and life seems to come to a grinding halt. Wherever we may find ourselves, we have a chance once again this year, as we prepare to celebrate Jesus' birthday on Wednesday, to remember that God has a dream. God dreams of making all things new, things in heaven and things on earth. As we let God's dream take root in our lives, we will discover the same kind of power that made it possible for Mary and Joseph to raise the one who is God with us. Let us pray. Holy, holy, holy Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Open us, Lord, heart, mind, soul, and strength to the glory that surrounds us, and help us to give all that we have and all that we are to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.